We are on Psalm 71, which is the prayer of an elderly man. Hearing me say that, you might conclude it is therefore a psalm for elderly people, not young people. You young adults might think to yourself, what can we possibly learn from the prayer of an elderly man? Well, the answer is a lot. A lot. There's great application in this prayer for all of us. May God be gracious to us and give us open ears and hearts to these ancient words. This prayer is long, 24 verses, so I'm not going to read the whole psalm at this time. What I'm going to do is this. I'm going to focus our attention on a key request, a key petition in this prayer, which is verse 18, and I'm going to explain an application for youth and young people and an application for older adults. Now, that's the outline of my message this morning, and concerning that outline, I'm going to let you decide which birthday separates young adults from older adults, okay? You can decide that one. I'm 56, so those of you in your 30s, that sounds really young to me. Those were the good old days. But for those of you in your 30s, realize that people who are 16, well, they probably think you're old. So you guys decide which grouping you fit in. What I want you all to understand is that there is significant application for all of us in this prayer of an elderly man. Again, my outline will be a key petition, application for youth and young adults, application for older adults. The key petition is verse 18. And that one verse will be our scripture reading this morning. I invite you to open your Bibles, and if you're able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God. This is His holy word to us. Psalm 71, verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Father God, thank you for this prayer recorded for us. May you teach us. May you give us understanding. May you inspire us, embolden us. To live for you. You may pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. To fully appreciate the key petition in verse 18, we need to consider who is praying and why he is praying. Concerning who is praying, I'm going to point out that this psalm does not have an inspired title. Many of the psalms we've looked at together have told us David is the author. Some psalms have even told us specific situations in which David wrote the psalm. This psalm doesn't tell us anything. There's no inspired title. Although that is the case, I submit to you we can be confident that David is the author. I say that for two reasons. One, this psalm fits very well with the previous psalms we know were written by David. For many weeks now, we've been looking at psalms of David. There's no reason to think that we suddenly have a psalm from a different author. And second, the last verse of the next psalm, Psalm 72, gives us great reason to conclude this is a psalm of David. The last verse of Psalm 72 is significant because it is also the last verse of the second book of the Psalms. You might remember there are a total of five books in the Psalms. Book 2 starts with Psalm 42. Psalm 72 ends Book 2. So the last verse of Psalm 72 is also the last verse of the second book. And here's what the verse says, quote, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now we'll talk a little more about that verse next week when we look at Psalm 72. Right now I'm simply going to point out that since we've seen a lot of psalms from David, And since the end of book two mentions David's prayers, it makes great sense that this prayer, Psalm 71, was indeed written by David. We can be confident that he's the one praying. And concerning why he is praying, the psalm makes it very clear that he offered up this psalm in his later years. I say that for three reasons. One, David mentions old age two times. He mentions old age and gray hairs, and the key verse we're focusing on, verse 18, you can see that on the screen. And he also mentions old age in verse 9. I'll add that to the screen, quote, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength is spent." That in and of itself is a good reason to conclude David is old. A second indication is this, he mentions his childhood and his youth. Look at verses 5 and 6, quote, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth." You don't talk that way unless you are at least a young adult. But since he mentions old age, it makes much more sense that he's in his later years, reflecting back on his youth and childhood. And three, he's seen many troubles. Look at verse 20, "You have made me see many troubles and calamities and will revive me yet again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again." It is certainly possible to see many troubles and calamities early in life, but the whole verse sounds like someone who is approaching the end of life, and together with the verses about old age and childhood and youth, well, it's quite clear that this is a prayer of an elderly David, which means it is the prayer of an elderly king, a king who is still under attacks, a king who's feeling his age, for he mentions his strength being spent in verse 9. Those of us who are growing older, we can relate to that, can't we? Troubles do not go away as we get older. Sometimes they actually increase, and the older you get, the more you realize your body is not the energizer battery. You know, it doesn't keep going and going. We start to slow down, don't we? David is under attack. He's dealing with the problems of old age. He's thinking about the end of his life. He's praying for those reasons. With that in mind, look now again at the key petition. Listen to verse 18 again. "So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to those to come." Dear friends, we learn from verse 18 that what David especially desired in his later years before death was to pass on to the next generation saving faith in God Almighty. And I ask you to let that sink in. In his old age, David doesn't pray, "Oh God, give me more stuff. You know, I want to do some more Amazon shopping. I want to go to Costco, buy one more big screen TV. Let me do that, oh God." That's not his prayer. Doesn't say pray. He doesn't pray, "Give me a bigger house." He doesn't say, "Give me the best chariot, the best vehicle so my neighbors are jealous." He doesn't say, "Give me more popularity, more accolades." He doesn't pray, "Protect me and strengthen me so that I can enjoy my kingdom a little longer. Just a little longer I want to enjoy this, God." He doesn't say, "Protect me and strengthen me so that I can add to my list of successful wars." He doesn't pray any of those things. His prayer is, "Protect me, strengthen me until I proclaim your might, your greatness to the next generation. That's what I want." That's a petition all of us need to meditate on. It is a petition we can all apply to our lives. This is a wise, emotional, meaningful petition. It is a petition that sees the whole truth, the big picture about life. And what I'm going to explain first is an application for youth, children, teenagers, young adults. David's wise prayer, it has a major message for you. Namely, if you have not yet placed your faith in God, if you have not yet asked Jesus to be your Lord, your Savior, do so right now. A right relationship with God is your most vital need. Your relationship with God needs to receive your greatest attention. Please understand from this psalm that from King David's vantage point in life, from all of his life experience, he knew that a saving relationship with God is the next generation's greatest need. That is what he was burdened to pass on to them. David was wealthy. David had wives. David had power and authority. David had success. David had popularity. David had a big home. He knew what all of that in life was about. But his burden was not to make sure the next generation had that. What David wanted was for the next generation to see the greatness of God Almighty so that they might place their trust and hope in him like David did. David knew if they had a heart that trusted in God alone, they would have all that they needed. David knew that because David knew how God had guided, helped, and protected him. Youth and young adults, please learn today from David. David the king knew from his own experience what is absolutely vital in life. He knew what someone cannot live without. He knew people cannot live without saving trust, saving faith in God. If you have saving faith in God, you have everything that matters. If you don't have saving faith in God, everything you do have is empty and short-lived. It is meaningless in the end. It will not save your soul. David knew that so well, he prayed, "Oh God, help me declare your greatness to the next generation." That's what they need. And please know that today there are elderly people lifting up that same prayer. There are people in this room lifting up that same prayer. I would say that all spiritually mature, passionate lovers of Jesus who have reached their later years have and are lifting up to God a version of this key petition. Not all elderly people lift up this petition we hear from David. Not even all elderly Christians lift up this prayer we hear in verse 18, for there are elderly Christians who don't understand what we're learning in this psalm. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But I believe all spiritually mature, elderly Christians who love Jesus passionately resonate with David's prayer. I want all of you children, youth, young adults, to know that in my 20 years of ordained ministry as a pastor, I have spoken with many spiritually mature elderly Christians. And the one common, most passionate desire of them all is that their children and grandchildren know Jesus as Lord and Savior, know the power of His saving grace in their lives. I've seen people weep who know a child or grandchild is not following Jesus. And I have heard grateful thanksgiving come from the lips when people speak of those children and grandchildren who are following Jesus. I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that every spiritually mature elderly Christian in our midst would give up absolutely everything to know with certainty that their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are resting in Christ as Savior and Lord. So if you want to make the next generation of Christians ahead of you happy, those who are older than you happy. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. An elderly Christian doesn't merely care for their family members. I know that there are elderly people in this room who would give up all their earthly possessions to know with certainty that every single child and youth in our church knows Jesus as Savior and Lord. They would give up their lives to know that with certainty. The closer you get to death, the closer you draw to Jesus, the more you desire for the next generation to know Him. Passionately, His salvation poured out on you. And youth and young adults, seeing that burden of people older than you should move you, inspire you, if you have not yet done so, to place your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior and follow Him. Make your relationship with Jesus your highest priority in life. A right relationship with Jesus not only gives you eternal life, it gives you the security you need to get through whatever you must face in your life. The Apostle Paul words well the security a right relationship with God gives you. In Romans chapter 8, he writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. The world cannot offer you that unfailing love and security. It cannot do that. Only the grace and love of God through Jesus can give you that security in life for all things. Listen to what David prays in our psalm. Listen to verses 5 and 6 again. Quote, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you." David is referring to God's sovereign knowledge of him and his gracious love for him in these verses. How he grew up trusting in God and hence being helped by God throughout his life, throughout his troubles and calamities. David is saying in these verses that he had a great life because of God's gracious work. Let me remind you of David's early years of life. We see in the scriptures that at an early age, he had a passionate love for and faith in Jesus, in God. You might remember that when Samuel came to David's house to anoint the next king, David was overlooked because of his age. He was the youngest son of his father, and he didn't even appear before Samuel. No one gave him any thought, but God did. God told Samuel to anoint David in spite of his age, in spite of his appearance. A key verse from that recorded history is 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, quote, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." By the grace of God, David at a young age had a heart trusting in God. And therefore God was with David and helped David throughout all his years, throughout all of his troubles, throughout all of his calamities. One of the next events recorded in the Bible is David standing up to Goliath at a young age. That's an awesome story. One of the reasons it's in the Bible is to spur on you children and you teenagers. You also can be strong in the Lord Jesus. Why was David willing to stand up against Goliath when grown men were not willing to do so? Answer, David had a passionate faith in God. David wasn't trusting in himself when he killed Goliath. He was trusting in his God. The time to start trusting in God is when you are young. God will start using you right now if you put your faith in him and look to him for help throughout all that you do. Give your lives to him. Follow him passionately. He will help you. In Psalm 71, we hear David reflecting on his life. As a child, a youth, David's hope was in God. And it made a huge difference in his life. He gives praise to God for the hope he always knew. He says, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth." David was helped by God as a child, a teenager, a young adult. David wants the next generation to have that same help. And all of us older adults who have experienced God's grace and love throughout our lives, well, we want what David wanted. We want you children and teenagers and young adults to have the greatest treasure there is, a treasure that cannot be taken away, the treasure of Christ. We want you to ask Jesus to be your Savior. We want you to follow him. Doing so does not mean your life will be easy. Again, David had troubles throughout his life. He's praying for that reason as well in this psalm. But in the midst of any trouble you might experience, you will have sure, unfailing hope and help. Help from God. And you will have eternal life before you. Listen to what David says in verse 20, quote, "You have made me see many troubles and calamities. You will revive me again from the depths of the earth. You will bring me up again." David had troubles, but his troubles never overcame him. Why? Because God always revived him. And I believe at the end of that verse, David is looking forward to his future resurrection. We who have sure hope in God know we will be revived forever. We want you youth and young adults to have the same sure hope throughout life. There's great application in this psalm for those of you who are young. Don't miss it. Don't ignore it. There's also great application for those of us who are past our youthful years. Think with me now about an application for older adults. The application is this: actively proclaim God's greatness to the next generation with God's help. Make it your goal. Make it your goal to proclaim God's greatness to the next generation with the help of God. If you have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, I'm sure you're praying for their salvation, which is so important to do. We need to always do that. We need to do more of that. But we also need to do more than pray. We are to be involved, actively involved in proclaiming the greatness of God, and not just to the members of our family tree. We need to be involved in the proclamation of the gospel to all the next generations behind us. The application is active proclamation. That's what David's asking God to help him with. David's prayer is not, "Oh God, please reveal yourself to the next generations. God, you make yourself known to them." David's prayer is not, "Use the preacher, O God, to make yourself known to the next generation." David's prayer is not, "Use the youth pastor, O God, to make yourself known to the next generation." Now, those are fine prayers. I greatly appreciate the prayers you offer up for me as I proclaim God's word. Greg Cady appreciates the prayers you offer up for him as he works with our youth. All of us staff members appreciate the prayers you offer up for us. Last week, the cards and the meal, messages of appreciation, all of that was extraordinary. It was wonderful. All of us staff are thankful for you, the loving members of First Church. We're so delighted and honored to be a part of this church. You're an awesome congregation. We say that with such great sincerity. You are awesome. And we thank you for your prayers. We know we're called to proclaim God's word, and we want your prayers for God's help to do that. But praying for staff members is not what we see in Psalm 71. What we see in Psalm 71 is the passionate prayer of an elderly person that God will give him strength to actively participate in the verbal proclamation of God's greatness to the next generations. We should all pray that God will use us the same way. Or in other words, we should ask God to strengthen us and help us to be part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission before we die. The Great Commission is recorded at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus calls us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that he has commanded us. Acts, we read Acts earlier, that he calls us to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth. This is what we are to actively participate in. We should ask God to help us accomplish as much as we can before we die. Ask God to help us actively proclaim his greatness. Am I saying that you all have to be preachers and teachers? No, of course not. Am I saying that we all have to go to Ethiopia like Bob, Ken, and Brian? No, not saying that either. But all of us can verbally proclaim God's greatness to the next generation in various ways and in different situations. And what we're seeing in Psalm 71 is that it should be our desire to do so until the day we die. Let me put the truth this way. There's no retirement from the work of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is something we should give our entire lives to. That's what we see in Psalm 71. When you get older, you might not be able to do what you used to do in the church in your younger years. But none of us are exempt from the Great Commission, from declaring the greatness of God to the next generations. Being involved in God's kingdom work is what makes life eternally meaningful. A powerful movement of ministry. I can't even imagine this. Such a powerful movement of ministry would happen if all of our Christian senior citizens would pray with passion what David prays in the psalm. Oh, it would be extraordinary. Movement of God. Oh, God, use me to actively proclaim your greatness to all those following me. Oh, the world would be changed. Most of you know that one of my favorite preachers is Dr. John Piper. In one of his most well-known sermons, he gives a great example, not retiring from the Great Commission. The example in his sermon is very much about the elderly. But he preached the sermon not to the elderly. He preached it to college students. Young people, please hear that. Piper preached one of his most well-known sermons at the Fourth Passion Conference held in the year 2000. On the screen are pictures from that event. He was preaching to 40,000 college students. He wasn't preaching to old people. He was preaching to young people. But his message, his example, involved elderly people. His sermon later became a book called Don't Waste Your Life. His example of not wasting your life involves an article from the Reader's Digest he happened to read about elderly people, and also two elderly women from his church. I'm going to quote now from Dr. Piper's sermon. Again, remember, he's preaching to 40,000 college students, involving these elderly people in his example. What he says is for all of us, just like Psalm 71 is. Quote, if you want your life to count, if you want the ripple effect of the pebbles you drop to become waves that reach the ends of the earth and roll on for centuries and into eternity, you don't have to have a high IQ or a high EQ. You don't have to have good looks or riches. You don't have to come from a fine family or a fine school. You just have to know a few great, majestic, unchanging, obvious, simple, glorious things and be set on fire by them. But I know that not everybody in this crowd wants their life to make a difference. There are hundreds of you. You don't care whether you make a lasting difference for something great. You just want people to like you. If people would just like you, you'd be satisfied. Or if you could just have a good job with a good wife and a couple of good kids and a nice car and long weekends and a few good friends and a fun retirement and a quick and easy death and no hell, if you could have that, you'd be satisfied even without God. That's a tragedy in the making. 3 weeks ago, we got word at our church that Ruby Eliason and Laura Edwards had both been killed in Cameroon. Ruby was over 80, single all her life. She poured it out for one great thing, to make Jesus Christ known among the unreached, the poor, and the sick. Laura was a widow, a medical doctor, pushing 80 years old and serving at Ruby's side in Cameroon. The brakes give way. Over the cliff they go, and they're gone, killed instantly. And I asked my people, was that a tragedy? Two lives, driven by one great vision, spent in unheralded service to the perishing poor for the glory of Jesus Christ, 2 decades after almost all their American counterparts have retired, to throw their lives away on trifles in Florida or New Mexico? No, that's not a tragedy. That is glory. I'll tell you what a tragedy is. I'll read to you from the Reader's Digest what a tragedy is. Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, playing softball and collecting shells. That's a tragedy. And people today are spending billions of dollars to persuade you to embrace that tragic dream. And I get 40 minutes to plead with you, don't buy it. With all my heart, I plead with you, don't buy that dream. The American dream, a nice house, a nice car, a nice job, a nice family, a nice retirement, collecting shells as the last chapter before you stand before the Creator of the universe to give an account of what you did. Here it is, Lord, my shell collection. And I've got a really nice swing, and look at my boat. Don't waste your life. Don't waste it. Piper's not saying it's wrong to play some softball and collect a few shells when you're on the beach. He's not saying it's wrong to own a boat. He's saying it's a tragedy to give your life to such things. To let such things be your goal. He's saying, don't let that be the pinnacle of your life. If seashells are the summer of your life, if that's what you've lived for, if you live for collecting shells and having a boat, so at the end of your life, all you have is stuff like that, that's a tragedy. In Psalm 71, we see what our passion should be for all of our years. Loving Jesus, knowing His greatness, passing it on to the next generations. In Psalm 71, we hear an elderly David asking God, "Oh, help me do that." Those of us who are old should be moved by that prayer. Those of us who are young should be moved by that prayer. God has given us this psalm today to change all of us. God has given we who are older adults this psalm, not so that we're going to leave here saying with sadness, well, I've wasted my life. That's not why we have this psalm today. Not to leave here with guilt, feeling sad about how we've lived. No. We should leave here saying, I'm going to waste it no longer. No, God, no longer. No, now I'm going to change by your help. That's how we should leave. Seniors, there are all kinds of ways in this church you can actively proclaim the greatness of God to the next generations. We need you in children's worship. We need you in Sunday school. We need you when we have signs up for vacation Bible school. We need you for our Wednesday night live ministries, helping young people learn a badge and such things, and cadets and gems. You can proclaim the greatness of God. My mother's 85 years old. You know what she tells me every time I call her? Oh, I taught this Sunday school lesson this week. It's awesome. 85, I taught this Sunday school lesson. I'm so excited. And if teaching is not your thing, that's okay. There are other ways you can be actively involved. Ask God to help you like David did. That's what his prayer is about. Oh God, I have troubles, I'm getting weak. Don't let me die until I proclaim to the next generation your greatness. Help me, God, show me how to do that. Help me do it. He'll answer that prayer. He will answer that prayer. And God has given you youth and young adults this psalm, so you will say, I'm going to live for God right now. Sorry, right now at this early age. I'm going to make it my chief goal to actively proclaim the greatness of God everywhere in this world. And if all you children and teenagers set that as your chief goal for life, if every single child and teenager in First Church set that as the highest priority of their lives, I dare say that thousands, even millions of people would become worshipers of Jesus. Just because children and teenagers here hearing the psalm and praying to God, that could happen. This is a psalm for all of us. Bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, thank you for the prayer of an elderly man written down for us. And by your grace, may we all respond to it. By your grace, may the youth and children, the young adults in our midst, find their hope in you alone. May they trust in you. May they love you. May they serve you wherever you send them. May they look to you and your word when they meet troubles and calamities in life. And Father God, we who are growing old, we know as we look back, we all know, each and every one of us, we know we have at times wasted our lives. We've done that. Forgive us. We have not always been as passionate as we should be. And we're grateful that you have brought us here to hear this word, be transformed. And we pray that you'd be gracious and do that in our hearts. Father, by your grace, your power, your word, May we constantly lift up the prayer that David did. Oh God, use us. Do not let us see death until we proclaim to the next generations your greatness. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.